Beating back the darkness. First of all, in verse, we're going to work through down through verse 21. So Luke chapter 10, verse number 2, he says this. And he was saying to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." In verse 1, he says, "Now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going." First thing that we have to remember as we think about the darkness and beating back the darkness is that God has called us and he has sent us out. He has called us to go out. And in other words, what he has called us to be participators and not spectators. He has called us to be participators. I go back, going way back, and if you know me, you know how much I love sports. I was staying all night with my cousin. This is going back several years when my cousin was playing peewee football, and we're the same age. I stayed all night with him. He played 1 year of peewee football, and I loved football, and I did not get the chance to play. But I stayed all night with him, and he was talking about it. You know, he had a game. It was Friday night. He had a game on Saturday morning. He's putting his pads on. He's telling me everything about it. Mind you, I'm a spectator. We go to the game. I get to be on the sidelines with him. And I'm standing there, and I'm watching this, and I'm going to my head, man, if I was out there, if I was the running back, if I was the quarterback, I was a mere spectator and had the coach. Now, they lost that game. I'm just telling you, they lost that game. It's because I wasn't on the field. But the coach, if he would have came to me with no pads, not being around the team, if he'd have came to me and says, "Dave, we need you. Get in there." You know what I would have done? I would have dropped what I was holding and running in there and said, "Give me the ball." Because I wanted to be a participator, not a mere spectator. God, not the coach, God Almighty has called us. Get off the sideline. Get out there. You are to be a participator and not a spectator when it comes into the kingdom of God. Why? Because you are needed. Just like when I was standing there thinking, man, if I was on this team, if I would go out there, this team could yearly use me. You are needed. God has chosen to work that way. So we've got to quit this mindset of being a spectator and becoming a participator. Now let me say this. Just like in the day when Jesus came, everything was lined up. The language, the whole nine yards. Today, how is God calling you to be a participator and not a spectator? You may not feel comfortable going out and knocking on doors. You may not feel comfortable doing this or that. But you can find out and ask, okay, God, I want to quit being a spectator. I want to be a participator. Show me how I can be a participator in the kingdom of God. It may be teaching a Sunday school class. It may be doing something downtown. It may be writing letters, making videos, whatever it is. Find how God wants you to be a participator in the building of his kingdom. Because the more that we participate, the more that darkness is beaten back. And when we quit participating, guess what happens? Darkness grows. We have got to become participators and not spectators. That's why God sent them out. And again, when he sent out the 70, it's not just, and again, it can be local, okay? But it's a global mindset. Our prayers, the things that we do, mission trips, Kingsway can truly change the world by the kingdom, by the power of God. But we've got to be what? Participators. So this morning I ask you, are you a participator or are you a spectator? Now, if you're sitting here this morning, you're saying, "I think I'm just a spectator." You can change that. Because God wants to send you in to the world. He's looking at you and saying, I've called you. I'll send you. Are you willing to go? And just find out how God wants to use you. Anyways, why? Because he said it in verse 2. The harvest is bountiful. I love what he says here. Because he tells them, right? The harvest is plentiful. But the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. I'm going to ask you this question. Don't you think, and I really do believe at this point in time that what the Lord is doing is he's trying to kind of shape or change their perspective. Because he wanted them to see the world, where they was going, that there's people ripe. There's people, when I say ripe, there's a harvest to be had. That means there's people ready. There's people that want Jesus Christ. And guess what? It hasn't changed. We live in a community where people want Jesus Christ. And maybe, just maybe, they're waiting on you, me, whoever, to show up and say, let me tell you about Jesus. Maybe there's somebody who's hurting today. Like the woman who was being yelled at and sitting there hurting, or the person who's, you know, addicted, who's shooting up. There's somebody today that needs to hear the gospel truth. And maybe, just maybe, he's waiting on you. Or she's waiting on you. You are the person. Now, change the perspective. We have to be willing to go. He also says here, when he thinks about the harvest being bountiful, says the laborers are few. You know, I have a garden. Not a big garden, but I have a garden. We planted some potatoes, cherry tomatoes, green beans, a little bit of, you know, stuff, peppers. You know what happened when we planted that? We kept checking it. But we didn't pick anything until what? It was ripe. It was ready. And guess what? When it got ripe and ready, you know what we did? We picked it. Well, in our case, Anna picked it. She went out and did it. But when it was ready to be picked, you went to the garden to pick it because it was ready. My dear friends, God is saying there's a harvest to be had. There is a harvest to be had. Do we today in 2020 see a harvest in Bristol? Do we believe there's a harvest to be had in Bristol? I can ask Todd. Todd will say yes. I can ask somebody else. I hope he'll say yes. There is a harvest to be had. And maybe, just maybe, God is waiting on us, Kingsway, to go out into the harvest and start liberating people in the power in the name of Jesus Christ. There's a harvest to be had. And if you look at our community and you look at our world and you don't see that, man, just like Jesus did here, and they're changing their perspective, I want you to see there is a harvest. They might have been thinking, well, God, why are you sending us? He says, because there's a harvest. And he's telling us today, there's a harvest. If we want to push back darkness, if we want to beat back darkness, we got to go get the harvest. Got to go get him. The mission is dangerous. Make no mistake about that. He says in verse 3, go, I behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. The mission is dangerous. Don't think for a second Satan's not out there ready to attack, because he is. And that's what Jesus made the point. He says, I'm sending you out as lambs. Not sheep, lambs. Lambs are even more vulnerable than sheep. I mean, a lamb is totally defenseless. And he says, that's how I'm sending you out. When we step out into darkness, we are stepping into the kingdom of darkness, Satan's kingdom. And as we go out, don't think for a second Satan's going to sit back and say, okay, let him have it. No, he's going to fight with everything he is. He's going to fight with everything that he's got to keep you from going into the darkness. And that means if he can disrupt you, if he can disrupt your family, whatever he can do, he's going to do it. Because you know why? He wants to keep you on the sidelines. He wants to keep you being a spectator and not a participator. That's it. That's what he wants. And so Jesus tells them, listen, I'm sending you out, but I'm sending you out as a lamb in the midst of wolves. Understand, you're going to be attacked. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. You're going to face challenges, but I'm still sending you. And it's no different for today, guys. As God sends us out into the darkness, it is going to be difficult. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be hard. But guess what? We go in the power of God, not in our power. And so we go. We beat back darkness. It's going to be dangerous. The mission is dangerous, and it is dangerous today. We see it in other countries. I mean, we see it in China. It just reported here just 2 or 3 weeks ago in China where they're coming to them. They're saying, you renounce your faith in Christ or we're taking everything away. Your government checks, everything, we're taking it away. We're seeing churches destroyed. We're seeing Christians assassinated, killed, murdered in other countries. Don't think for a second it can't happen here. Don't be lulled to sleep and say, well, this is America. It can't happen here. Oh, my dear friends, all you've had to do is watch the news and you see what's going on in the church today. And it's going to get worse. It's going to. Maybe not in my lifetime, but it's going to get worse. It's dangerous to step out into darkness. It's dangerous to be a participator and not a spectator. I'll go back to the Pee Wee football game. Guess what? As long as I was a spectator, I didn't have to worry about getting hurt. I didn't have to worry about getting injured. But when you become a participator, oh yeah, you might get a few bumps and bruises. You might get a broken leg. It could happen. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Why? The harvest is plentiful. The mission is dangerous. The mission is urgent. Verses 4 through 11. And I'm going to read it. It says, carry no money belt, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on your way. Whatever house you enter, first say peace be to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating, drinking, whatever they give you, for the labor is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house, and I'll talk about that in a moment. Whatever city you enter and receive, you eat. Eat what is set before you, and heal those in it who are sick, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, even the dust of your city, which clings to our feet, we wipe off and protest against you. Yet be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near. And in other words, Jesus is saying, keep your objective clear. That's the short version. Keep your objective clear. And that is, there's a harvest to be had. Now Jesus here is not telling them to be rude. He says, man, if somebody, if you're out and you're going to a house and they say, hey, come in, you know, get a bite to eat, get a piece of bread, get some water, whatever. Don't reject it. Don't be rude. Go in and accept that. But he also says here, and one of the things that I do want to point out, when he said in that one verse, in verse 7, he says, do not keep moving from house to house. Jesus was basically saying there, he says, and I don't know what the time frame was, but let's just say for number's sake, this is a six-day mission trip. This is a six-day mission that they've been called on. Jesus didn't want to turn into a six-month mission trip. Okay, he didn't want people to be taken advantage of. So you go into one house and they say, are you thirsty? Are you hungry? You say, yeah. And then you go to the very next house and say, are you hungry? He didn't want them to take advantage of them. Basically what Jesus is saying, keep the objective before you. Don't become sidetracked. Don't become complacent. Don't become lazy. Keep the mission before you. The harvest is plentiful. That means that person down the street, that person in the next home is in need of you. So don't get comfortable where you're at. Keep moving. Keep sharing the gospel. Keep liberating people. Keep being a participator and not a spectator. Keep moving. Keep the objective before you. My dear friends, you know what Satan wants to do? He is so hard. Again, he's going to come get you. And if he can distract you, that's what he's going to do. He's going to distract you. He's going to, why? Because he knows. He knows as well as we do. The harvest is plentiful. And he wants to keep you from what? Reaping the harvest. So he's going to distract you. He's going to get you sidetracked. And if he can do it, that's what he's going to do. And that's all Jesus is basically saying. He's saying, don't lose your objective. Man, let's go back. Let's go back to the wilderness. And not just in the wilderness, but throughout the ministry of Christ. What did Satan consistently try to do? To cause Jesus to lose the objective of why he came. And that was the old rugged cross. So it didn't matter if they were in the wilderness. It didn't matter what he was doing. It didn't matter if they wanted to take him king. It didn't matter if they wanted to try to set him up. It did not matter. Jesus always kept the objective before him. The old rugged cross. We too have got to keep the objective of why we go out. It's not to make people feel good. It is to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. That's why we go. Because people are hurting. And people need Jesus. Keep the objective before you. It's urgent. It's urgent because why? The laborers are few. I may get tired of my personal stories. I used to detassel corn. Detasseling corn is hard work. And I don't know who here has detasseled corn, but I have. I was a teenager, a young teenager, when I used to detassel corn. Did it for 5 years. And I hated it. I'll just tell you, I hated it. Because it was hard. And so what we would do is, we might have a busload that goes on the first day. And so it was two things. One, you used to ride in this tractor that was above these big, I'm talking about big cornfields. And so you ride in this bucket of this tractor, this long line of buckets, and as that tractor's moving down, you're doing this number, And you go down, turn around, you come back, do the same thing. It's all day. It doesn't matter if it's raining. It doesn't matter how hot it is outside. That's what you did. And then when you got done doing that, you might be at a field for a whole week. But when you got done doing that, then you had to walk on the ground. And guess what? You walk through the cornfield, and you're now pulling for those that were missed. Because the objective is to get every tassel out of that corn. That's the objective. Now, again, on the first day, second day, you might have X number of people. But by the time we got done with that field, that number of people dwindled quite a bit. Because it was hard. And they quit. They just quit. So guess what that meant? That meant those who were there had to do more work. And so let's say if there's 100 people, we could do 100 rows at a time. By the end of the week, if there's only 20 people, guess how many rows you're doing? You're only doing 20 rows at a time. So the urgency speaks to the fact there's very few laborers. So that means it takes more work. Now, I'm not complaining as far as the gospel, but that's why it's urgent. That's why it's urgent. And that's why Jesus says, pray for the Lord of the harvest that send forth more laborers. Because it is urgent, and we need more participators, not spectators. We need more participators. So pray. Pray. Pray for your neighbor. Pray for your friend. Pray for those that you know who are believers. Pray for them. And if any, I don't know what they're doing, but say, God, use them to be a participator, not a spectator, for your Christian friend who's not involved in church anywhere. We have them, right? We have Christian friends that's really not involved in church anywhere. Pray for them. God, would you help them to become a participator instead of being a spectator? Because the more participators we have, the more we can push back darkness. That's simple. Keep the mission before you because it's urgent. The mission was success. Now, we're back to where we started at. He says in verse 17, down through verse 20. Verse 19, rather, I'm sorry. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will injure you. I like that. to come back rejoicing. You know how they didn't come back? Complaining. They didn't come back complaining. They didn't come back, man, Lord, this was hard. Lord, you know we were threatened. Lord, you know we had doors shoved in our face. We had people tell us off. We had people throw stuff. They didn't come back complaining. It didn't matter how hard it was. And mind you, it was hard because what did Jesus say? I'm sending you out like lambs. It was hard. But they did not come back complaining, but yet they came back rejoicing. They were had a success. And I think, too, it's important to understand, he didn't give us a number. He didn't say a whole city was saved. He didn't say 500 were saved. Man, if one out of that 70 that went out, if one would have come to Christ, if one would have been delivered, the mission was a success. Doesn't matter how many. And we want as many as we can get. Don't get me wrong. But as the angels of heaven rejoice over how many being saved? One. The mission is a success when we lead one to Christ. When one is liberated. When one has changed or broken down. When one says, yes, I want Jesus. The mission is a success. You know what happens? Darkness is pushed back and heaven is enlarged. The mission is a success. We want to push back darkness? Let's start leading people to Christ. And darkness will be pushed back and heaven will be enlarged. They came back rejoicing. But I love this. I love this part. He says, let me go ahead and flip it over. He says he saw Satan falling, right? And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Now I just want to say one thing. If you go back up to the verse 17, they came back rejoicing. They said, even the demons were subject to us. And Jesus immediately says, and he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Now, I think that can imply two things. The one thing it could imply is the fact, be careful that you don't become prideful. Because you read in verse number 19, behold, I have given who? I, Jesus, have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. So be careful that you don't become prideful and think, oh, I can do this. No, you can't. No, I can't. No, we can't. But he can because he has given us power. He has given us authority. And if we want to push back darkness, it won't be in our strength, but it will be in the power of God. Don't become prideful. Because it's so easy to do. We can do this. You know, I'm smart enough. No, I'm not. We can't do it without him. And I love, too, the second thing he says here. Again, perspective, right? They were excited because they said, even the demons were subject to us. And what did Jesus do? He immediately took them from that aspect to Satan. You see, the demons don't have kingdoms. Demons don't have kingdoms, but Satan's got a kingdom. It's not about simply chasing demons away. It's about pushing back the kingdom of darkness. He changes their perspective. He changes it from the fact of what they saw here happening to the fact of what was really happening. And when we go out into the darkness, when we become participators and not spectators. Let's keep it perspective, right? It's not about simply what's happening here, but it's about seeing Satan fall from heaven once again, like you see right there behind the cross. It keeps falling because that's what it's about. We should want Jesus to see Satan fall from heaven on a consistent basis because we want darkness pushed back and we want the kingdom of God to grow. That's what it's about. not about what happens here. I mean, now it's important, but keep the perspective of what it's really about. Come on, flip it. Flip it. There we go. Don't become prideful. And light beats back darkness. And here we go. The climax. All that other stuff was good. But this is the climax. Verse 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. Don't rejoice in the fact that you had this. And why are we just surprised? Okay. I missed that. But you know, behold, I've given you authority. You should have expected that. I'm Jesus. You know? Apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. Don't rejoice in the fact that demons scattered because you commanded them to scatter in the name of Jesus. That the spirits were subject to you. But rejoice. Rejoice in what? That your name is written down in the Lamb's book of life. That's the rejoicing. True joy. It's not in success of what you've done, what you're doing, what you're going to do. And all that success and all that God does and how God uses you. I mean, it's not something not to be excited about, but true joy, true rejoicing is, where is your name at today? Because if your name is not written down in the Lamb's book of life, you have nothing to rejoice about. And I don't care how successful you think you are. True rejoicing is the knowing that if you was to die right now, at this very moment, you would be with Jesus. Nothing compares to that. And that's why he says, don't rejoice over that. Rejoice in the greatest miracle of all time, that you're a believer. That's where you rejoice at. So this morning, are you a participator or a spectator? I mean, one or the other. Become a participator. Ask God, how do you to participate in the kingdom of heaven? Ask him. He'll show you. I promise he will. Do you want to push back darkness? Well, every believer should say, yes, amen. That's what we want to do. But this morning, I want to ask you, where's your name? Where's your name written at? Because if you want to rejoice this morning, if you want to worship, if you want to say glory, hallelujah, send me in, because it's where your name's at. And if your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, it needs to be. I don't know how else to say it. You can put your name on many, many documents. But there is none that compares to that book. All those other documents will burn up. They'll fade away. But not that book. And once your name is written, it can't be erased. Because Jesus wrote it in his blood. This morning, let's push back darkness. You can push back darkness simply by surrendering to him. Surrendering to him and saying, I want to give my life to Christ today. You can push back darkness. Will you push it back? And we're going to do something a little bit different for the invitation. I want you to sing along during it. And there's one part of the invitation towards the end of the song. It says, may a sleeping world awaken. I changed it. No, I didn't change the lyrics because I can't do that. But I changed the word world to church. We're going to listen to that song. We're going to watch it. I want you to sing. I want you to sing it. And if you need to come to this altar, I'll be down here. Todd's right here. If you want to give your life to Christ, if you want you to know your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, come to me. Come to Brother Todd. Pull out your best friend. If you're here and you know Tim, pull out Tim. Say, Tim, help me to understand. Help me to know. Because that is the most important thing you can do walking out that door is to make sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Don't walk out of this today. Don't leave here today not knowing that. And if you already know that for sure, then our Lord wants to challenge us. Step into darkness and become a participator and not a spectator. It is time for the church to arise. Like never before. It is time for the church to arise and say, Satan, by the power of God, we're coming. We're coming. We're coming to take back what belongs to Christ. It's time. Will you join with me in a word of prayer? Our Father God, as we come before you right now, Lord, we simply ask you to, again, as we've said throughout, we want your will to be done. And so, Lord, however you have spoken today, just may it be done. If there is someone here who does not know for sure that their name is not written down into your book, I pray today, Father, they would make that official. They would make it official. And if it's never been written down. I pray today, Father, they say, I want my name written down. I believe in Jesus Christ. I trust him. Whatever you want to do today. Whatever you want to do today, Lord, you do it. For your kingdom. For your kingdom. Not my kingdom. Not our kingdom. But for your kingdom. May it be done today. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.